All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And hello and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry. I was a CW2 Army aviator in Vietnam in 1969. We want to welcome you to Veterans Radio. Today's program is really exciting, I think. We've got the president of the Eisenhower Center coming on. We've got Patricia Keim from military.com, and we've got our benefits experts, Caroline Fasson from Legal Help for Veterans and Michael Smith from the Washtenaw County Veterans Service Office. So stick around. We want to make sure that you are here. Make sure that you ask your questions. The number, if you do have a question, is 734-822-1600. That's 734-822-1600. I would be very remiss if I don't mention our sponsors for today's program. And we're doing really well in sponsorship, folks, and I really appreciate all of you out there that are supporting Veterans Radio today. We're going to start off with Legal Help for Veterans, and Legal Help for Veterans, of course, specializes in veterans' disability claims. And for more information, you can go to their website. That's legalhelpforveterans.com. Or give them a call at 800-693-4800. We also want to thank the National Veterans Business Development Council, or better known as NVBDC. The NVBDC's main purpose is to certify that a veteran-owned business is just that, veteran-owned. And this can be very important for veteran-owned companies that want to do business with the government and or veteran-friendly corporations. The certification process is well worth your while. They're in addition to that, they also have many training programs to help you get your business started. You can go to their website, that's nvbdc.org, or you can give them a call at 888-237-8434. I already mentioned that we wanted to thank the Eisenhower Center, and I'll wait till we do our interview with Devin on that one in just shortly. Also, VBOC, the Veteran Business Central, or the Veteran Business Outreach Centers. Ours locally is titled VetBiz Central. And this organization is veterans helping veterans get their business started, get their business continued, and get funding for you to get your business going. So we encourage you to go to their website, which is vetbizcentral.com. We really appreciate what they are doing for us. And, of course, we would want to mention and thank our local veteran service organizations, American Legion Post Number 46, Veterans of Foreign War Post Number 423, and the Charles S. Kettles VVA Post 310, all of Ann Arbor, Michigan. Thank you so very much for your continued support. We want to make sure that we also remind you out there that Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio America, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. So any contributions, sponsorships, anything that you do for us is tax deductible to you. So thank you very much. You can go to our website, veteransradio.net, to find out more information. Joining me on the line right now is the president of the Eisenhower Center, and his name is Devin Hutchins. And Devin, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thanks, Dale. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad we were finally able to connect on this interview.
Definitely. I am excited to be here.
All right. So tell me all about Eisenhower. Let's start off with what Eisenhower Center is and what their main goals are.
All right. Eisenhower Center is a neuro-rehabilitative rehab center. It's an inpatient and outpatient center based out of Ann Arbor, Michigan. We've been doing business for almost 30 years now. Primarily, we started out working with individuals suffering from traumatic brain injuries due to automobile accidents or maybe workplace injuries. Over about 15, 16 years ago, we started working with veterans and started to see the need to provide neuro-rehabilitative services for them. And, you know, those returning from war, they may be suffering from mild traumatic brain injuries or PTS, and we just wanted to lend our expertise and what we had been doing for so many years to them. Fast forward about 8 years ago, we started a specialized program called After the Impact, It's a program that is specifically for military veterans, men and women who have served, who also may be suffering from what I said earlier, PTS, maybe some mental health, isolation, maybe traumatic brain injury themselves from blast or falls, concussion issues. So we started this program, which is initially a 30 to 45 day program that the veterans go through, and it's specifically for them and former professional athletes. We saw some synergy between the two groups that we thought would help each other go through this life transition together. So over the past 7 years, we've seen pretty close to 200 veterans go through the program, as well as a little over 150 former NFL players go through the program as well.
Wow. I know we talked with Eric Hipple a couple of years ago about the program at Eisenhower Center, and obviously he was very interested and very excited in the work that you're doing out there and how much you had helped him. So if I wanted to get involved in this, or if I felt that I needed help with your impact program, how would I go about getting in touch with you folks?
Oh, several ways. First would be, you can go to our website, which is EisenhowerCenter.com, and that's spelled just like the president, EisenhowerCenter.com. You can fill out information there. If you would like to find more information, you can find it there. But you can also request to have someone contact you to talk more about your specific needs or your loved one's specific needs or a friend, someone you served with, all of that. You know, if you even just need someone to talk to, not necessarily, you know, maybe it's not the right time for you or someone you know to come into an inpatient program like ours. We do provide outpatient, but we can also get back to you, try to help you as much as possible. If it's navigating some of your benefits, navigating the VA, you know, we've been doing it for some time now. And so all of my therapists are well-versed at working with veterans, and that's how you can get us. So that's with the website, or you can just call us at area code 734-677-0070. And just dial zero, and our fine receptionist there will get you in contact with the people you would like to talk to.
I think that's great. And you also have facilities in Florida, don't you?
Yep. We have a facility down in Jacksonville, Florida that was opened up about 4 years ago that runs that same program. We've had great success working down there with the Tampa VA, who sends a lot of veterans our way that need our types of services in the Jacksonville area VA. And so, yeah, we've seen some great results there. And outside of that, we are finalizing programming that we're doing on Selfridge Air Force Base. This is something that's been in the makings for about six or 7 years itself. Last year, we received keys to two buildings where we can run our programming out of. And this programming is based off of what we do with After the Impact, our ATI program, but it's a little bit more veteran focused. Of course, it's on an Air Force base. But this is unique because a veteran would be able to stay on base there with their family. They would be able to access all of the services and resources that are there on the base, and get the needed treatment that they need. Strong vocational base, you know, on it. So we would love to be able to get veterans gainfully employed, but having employment that's sustainable and also that is a career. So we're working with a number of the trades to be able to provide on-site training there, as well as provide the necessary kind of like behavioral health and mental health services that would help people sustain jobs. Because a lot of times what we saw was veterans coming back from deployment and trying to get back into civilian life and working, you know, if it's a corporation or some business. And the struggle is just how things are structured. You know, veterans are used to stuff being structured, and, you know, you have a plan and a goal, and you have your duties, and you carry those out. And you're expecting, in order to be successful, that the rest of your team members or your squad members carry out with the same energy and the same a fight that you would. And that's unfortunately not quite what happens here, you know, in, you say, corporate America, or whether, you know, just in your everyday job. And that can be of a struggle itself. And then outside of all the other things that maybe a veteran may be dealing with, just returning home or some of the things that, you know, they went through while they were deployed, you know, you need to be able to talk about those things and get those out and be able to process it easily. And so that was the type of program we're looking to put together, and hopefully it'd be successful for a number of folks.
Well, it sounds like a great program. I did have a question. Does the veteran have to instigate the contact with you, or are they referred maybe from the VA or from a physician outside of you or your locations?
It goes both ways. You know, we get a number of referrals from VAs where we work on memorandum understandings, you know, individual contracts with some VAs. We work with the DOD. We've done a number of individual contracs with the DOD. And so it varies. We have veterans that come straight to us with a lot, over 60% actually of the veterans that's gone through the program have been word of mouth from another veteran that went through the program. Okay. And so, you know, and not often are all our veterans engaged in their local VA for one reason or another. And so we're able to make those connections and find the best way to get them into our program at no cost to the veteran as well. I meant to say that. So that this is a program that is either going to be paid by the VA, or we work with a number of organizations that assist in these types of things, mm-hmm. that might cover veterans going through the program. We are starting a partnership with a number of one. We've worked with the Independence Fund, the Wounded Warrior Project, a number of organizations that just have veterans that need our type and level of support, and they reach out to us and we work something out for them.
I think that's great. I mean, that's the great thing right there, is that the veteran doesn't have to worry about having to pay for this or be concerned about, you know, the money and so forth. So I really want to thank you, Devin Hutchings, who's the president of Eisenhower Center. And we encourage you to go to their website. That's EisenhowerCenter.com. And as he pointed out, Eisenhower, as in President Eisenhower. So, Devin, keep us informed of any changes or any updates that we need to know about. And thank you so much for being on our program today.
Sounds good. Thanks, Dale, for having me.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was Devin Hutchings, the president of Eisenhower Center. And we encourage you to go look at their website. Got a lot of great information there for you. That's EisenhowerCenter.com. All right. Any of you out there that have questions about benefits of the VA healthcare system, now's the time to start making the phone calls. The number here is 734-822-1600. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with our first guest. That's Patricia Keim, and she was with military.com, but she's also pretty much known as an expert on veterans healthcare. So we're anxious to talk with her this morning. So you are listening to Veterans Radio, and we'll be right back.
Are you a veteran or a military spouse interested in starting or growing an existing business? Then you want to connect with VetBiz Central, Michigan's only veteran business resource center, providing free one-on-one business counseling services, including research plans and preparing veterans to be lender ready. If you're in business, VetBiz Central offers comprehensive strategic marketing strategies to help you connect to corporations. They are one of 20 centers nationwide devoted to veteran business development through the U.S. Small Business Administration Office of Veteran Business Development. Vets helping vets. Visit their website at VetBizCentral.org. Or call 810-767-VETS.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
All right. So what is going on? Well, hopefully we're going to answer some of your questions today and see if we can figure out what is actually happening. Joining me on the line right now is a new contributor to Veterans Radio. Her name is Patricia Keims. And Patricia is, it's got a whole thing. She's the associate editor at military.com. She spent 6 years prior to that as a reporter for Military Times, covering mental, military health care and medicine. She covers military personnel, veterans issues for almost 30 years as a freelance writer and editor. And so we want to welcome her today to our program. So, Patricia, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you very much for agreeing to be on our program. As I mentioned, and as our other guests, and let me say hello to them, too, before I forget. We've got Carol Ann Falzone, who is with Legal Help for Veterans. Carol Ann, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dale, and hello, Patricia, and hello, Michael.
Hello.
And Michael Smith, of course.
Hey, Dale, how are you?
Hello, John. We are fine. Thank you very much. Yeah. And as Michael and Carol Ann have told me so many times, there is veterans health care and there are veterans benefits through the VA. So we're going to talk about health care right now initially. So, Patricia, what is going on with the VA health system that we need to be aware of?
Well, I think one of the most important issues that your audience may be interested in is that VA is about to switch providers for community care and for the urgent care program in Michigan from TriWest to Optum Health, which may mean that if they have been using the new urgent care program, where they go and they don't need a doctor's appointment, but they go through the new network to get urgent care, they may need to check out the VA's website beforehand to make sure that the urgent care facility that they plan to go to for anything is in the new network. So that's
okay.
I
did look up some information like that. You can go to the VA's website itself and look it up. And a lot of the IHA urgent care centers are now on the list along with some other urgent care places. So yeah, it really is advisable to go there and check on it. I thought that was a great service. I wasn't even aware of that they could use outside urgent care facilities.
Right. And tell you the truth, if they have been using them on September 1st, it will be a different group. It's going from TriWest to Optum Health. So they'll want to go to the basically the urgent care network section of VA and make sure that it's covered. VA's intention is to make it seamless. So Optum is hiring, is including some of the old places in its network. So hopefully that it'll be easy for veterans to find a facility and be able to get the care they need.
Well, we can only hope, right?
Right. other things that are going on, the VA right now is rolling out a new big suicide prevention effort in advance of Suicide Awareness Month. So we're seeing a lot of PSAs, public safety announcements, and some new programs. VA is teaming up with OnStar. If people who have that in their car, there'll be a direct link to VA and to be able to get to the crisis line through that. And also just some other things of sort of searching through VA social media, veteran social media places like Rally Point to reach out to veterans and make sure that they're getting the mental health care that they need.
Right. Yeah, it is. September is Suicide Prevention Month, and so it's a great thing that they are doing this. We're always talking about, the Veterans Crisis Hotline and how people can get help if they need it. We just want to make sure that people are aware that help is always out there, whether you're a civilian or a veteran. And if you need help, please just reach out. We want to help you as much as we possibly can with that scenario. There's a whole lot of other things that I was noticing on the VA website as far as services that are available to veterans, and I would really encourage people to go there and see what that's all about.
That's right. You can reach out to VA and check out the websites. There's a lot to learn about community care and getting care outside of your VA center. The good news, I think, in Michigan is we're starting to see a lot of the VA medical facilities are returning to service and having people in rather than the telehealth option, although that VA is pushing strongly to maintain telehealth for some of their services. So So we'll see how that develops as hopefully as the pandemic winds down.
Well, hopefully, yes. We're definitely hopeful that it will wind down at some point, and hopefully soon. I wanted to let our audience know that we're talking with Patricia Kimes, and she is with military.com. And I wanted to give you a moment here to where you can promo military.com, because they have an awful lot of links to help veterans as well.
We do. We have a section where it's just standing information on all sorts of benefits and health care, opportunities that you have. We have a news section where you may be able to, see the latest and greatest and find out what's going on with VA. You know, recently we've been covering this issue of the Postal Service not, and the perhaps delays in prescription medications for veterans. To tell you the truth, we haven't actually heard directly from veterans that are experiencing delays, but, some of the veterans organizations have raised concerns about it. Those are the issues we cover, besides just a great resource for all sorts of information on the benefits that you rate and deserve, as well as updates on your healthcare services.
Well, I think it's a great website. It's another source for you veterans out there to find out information, and another source of news of what's going on in the veteran community. And I would encourage you to look at that. You mentioned the post office there. I thought it was rather humorous, because I just sent out for my refills of my prescription, and I never got them back quicker than I did this last last order. It seems like I put it in on Monday and I had them all by Thursday. Maybe somebody's working overtime, I hope. So Patricia, you're more than welcome to hang around if you want to in the conversation when we're talking about benefits. I'm not sure what your expertise is as far as that is concerned, but you are more welcome to stay. But I want to make sure that I thank you for taking some time out of your Sunday to talk with us.
Well, thank you for having me, but I will listen in, because I'm always interested to hear from experts on the benefits side of the house, even though it's something that I don't cover. But thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. That's Patricia Kimes, and I encourage everyone to go to military.com and check it out for that. Okay, we're going to put on our other hat now and go over to the benefits side of our program today, and that's with Carol Ann Falcone from Legal Help for Veterans and Michael Smith from the Washtenaw County Department of Veterans Services. Carol Ann, I understand we have a little announcement that we need to make, though, today.
Sure, and it's very important. It's regarding our Veterans Summit, which will be occurring on September 15th, and that will be from 8 to 12, and 9 to 12, I'm sorry. And we're hoping that everybody, it's a virtual Zoom, and we're hoping that everybody signs up and registers. The address to register is https://www.cantonfoundation.org. It's all free, but we've got some great guests, speakers. The speaker from the Ann Arbor VA, Dr. Ginny Crispin, will be joining us again, and the director of the state of Michigan, Zanita Adams, will be joining us. The director of the Veterans Homes for Michigan will be also getting the national DAV director for employment. Christina Darrell will be with us from Legal Help for Veterans, our attorney for disabilities. We'll have Michael Smith representing not only his county, the county counselors, but he just has such a vast knowledge of day-to-day operations within the VA. And then Chris Herman, a former VA employee and a nurse practitioner who assists us with issues when you're putting in for a disability benefit, some of those key things to have in there from a CMP exam standpoint, including getting ready for your exam that day. So that is September 15th again. It is a Zoom. It is free. And Michael and I will be live to take questions on that day. So please, our listening audience, sign up for the Veterans Summit.
That's right. And this is this is not your first summit. You've done this for a number of years now.
I believe, if I'm not misspoken, this is number 11.
All right. Yeah. That's great. And so in order to get permission, you have to register with the CantonFoundation.org in order to get the Zoom invitation. Is that what I'm understanding here?
And there is no limit. I mean, so please get it in so we could make sure that you have your place and your nice seat at home. But this is, it's going to be a banner year. It's the first ever with the coronavirus, and we're so very fortunate to be able to get the speakers that we have and to pull this off in this COVID environment. So please, listening audience, register for the 11th Veterans Summit.
Okay. I encourage everybody to do that out there. I will be attempting to do that myself. It's a really big day because it's my birthday, but we will definitely check in and see what's going on if we can on the 15th of September between 9 and 12. And again, to register for the summit, it is go to CantonFoundation.org, and then I guess you'll just have to follow the prompts, but that's going to get you the invitation and the link so that you can hook up with Zoom and watch all these great speakers. I applaud you for doing this and not letting the COVID-19, cancel this event. It's much too important. I've been to a lot of them in the past, and they're so helpful and to so many, many veterans that are out there. We just need to keep everything open as much as we possibly can. I'm going to take a real quick break right now.
I just want to give a last plug. I want to give an applaud to Jim Fossone and the Canton Foundation, because it does take a lot of work to pull any of these sessions off. But it seems like this year with the coronavirus, I really wanted to extend my kudos to them for keeping this going.
Absolutely. She knows Jim really well.
Yes, I do.
By the way, I guess before we take a break, let's find out. Jim had a minor surgery. Well, it probably wasn't minor to him, but some surgery this week, and he is doing fine, I'm assuming.
Yes. Thank you very much, and thanks for all the well wishers. He's doing extremely well.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right, Derek, we're going to take a break right now and get to listen to our Medal of Honor segment for this week. And when we come back, we're going to be out there hopefully answering some of your questions about benefits at the VA. So stay tuned. You are listening to Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Lieutenant Robert Nett was seriously wounded during hand-to-hand combat, but continued to lead his men. Details after this. Nett commanded Company E in an attack against a reinforced enemy battalion that had held up the American advance for 2 days from its entrenched positions around a three-story concrete building. With another infantry company and armored vehicles, Company E advanced against heavy machine gun and other automatic weapons fire, with Nett spearheading the assault against the strong point. During the fierce hand-to-hand encounter that ensued, he killed 7 deeply entrenched Japanese with his rifle and bayonet, and, although seriously wounded, continued to lead his men forward, refusing to relinquish his command. Again, he was severely wounded, but still unwilling to retire, pressed ahead with his troops to assure the capture of the objective. Wounded once more in the final assault, he calmly made all arrangements for the resumption of the advance, turned over his command to another officer, and then walked unaided to the rear for medical treatment. The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Hey, this is Kix Brooks. Thousands of veterans are homeless and living on the streets of our nation tonight. Streets where they're being beaten and robbed, even killed. Let's take care of our own. Please join me in housing 1,000 veterans as fast as possible. Make a pledge to VeteransMatter.org. Text VETS to 41444 and pledge any amount. Text VETS to 41444. They fought for us, now we fight for them. Veterans Matter.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
And we're back here on Veterans Radio, and my name is Dale Thronberry, and I get to be your host today. And joining me virtually are Carol Ann Falzone, retired Air Force Brigadier General and a registered nurse and BSN and all of the other things, so she knows her health care as well as everybody else does, and Michael Smith, who is the Executive Director of the Washtenaw County Office of Veteran Services. So, lady and gentlemen, what's happening? I got one email this month for a question on benefits, and it's one that we've heard in the past, and I guess Michael will let you talk about it again, but it's from a gentleman named George, and George wants to know, how can he get an increase in his disability payments? He's a Vietnam veteran and evidently still having nightmares from his service, which included a Silver Star and 4 Bronze Stars. So how do we go about getting an increase in benefits if you're already collecting?
Well, Dale, it's a simple process in terms of reopening the claim and requesting an increased evaluation for the disabling effects of the medical condition and the increased symptomatology. But what we always caution, and I'm sure General Falzone, and she always agrees with me on this, is that whenever you reopen a claim, there are three possible outcomes. The VA can increase you, which is a positive. The VA can keep you where you are, which is somewhat of a positive, but then the VA can also propose to reduce you. And it's all based on medical evidence. So if a person feels and they're, you know, they just feel, I need to be getting more. I should have more. Well, it's got to be beyond how you feel about it and what you're experiencing in terms of symptoms. That needs to be documented in your medical treatment records. So whenever we counsel somebody before reopening a claim and requesting an increase, we ask them, do you have medical evidence that supports the next higher evaluation? So what we'll do is we'll sit down and we'll open up 38 Code of Federal Regulation. We'll go to the schedule of rating and we'll look at, say, for instance, the higher evaluations above where that person is currently rated. So if they're rated at 30, we'll look at the 50% evaluation. We'll look at the 70% evaluation. And some, believe it or not, the 100% evaluation is a little bit difficult to get on the schedule of rating. Not impossible, but the symptomatology is typically not what most people are experiencing. So most people will probably be right around that 50 or 70% evaluation. And we start asking them, hey, are you having problems with this? Are you having problems with that? And if they say, yeah, and it's documented in my progress notes over at the VA, or, yeah, I'm seeing a civilian psychologist or civilian psychiatrist, and it's documented in that, or I'm going to the vet center, and I've been going to the vet center for over a year, and I've got proof that my symptoms match this evaluation. That's when we'll reopen that claim, because we know we have good, solid medical evidence to support the request for an increased evaluation. Now, I've seen this in the past. People say, look, I want to reopen my claim. I believe my PTSD has gotten worse. I believe whatever condition has gotten worse. And I'll ask them, have you been going to your doctor to be treated for this? And they'll say, no.
Mm-hmm.
And then they still insist on reopening that claim. And we caution them, and yes, we've done this. And then they go to an exam, and an examining official says, wow, since your last evaluation 5 years ago, you've gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll propose to reduce them from 70 to 30 or 50 mm-hmm. to 0 or mm-hmm. 30 to 0 or 30 to 10 because the only medical evidence that the VA has to use in those cases are the former compensation and pension examination from when they were either last rated or first rated and then this newer evaluation, with no medical evidence coming from a treating physician, that can be a precarious move if, again, you don't have that medical evidence that supports requesting the next higher evaluation. But again, from a simplistic perspective, you just merely say, I want to reopen my claim. It's as easy as completing a VA form 21-526EZ if it's been within a certain period of time and requesting a higher evaluation for your current condition. And then sometimes we also use a VA form 21-4138, which is a statement in support of claim, where we allow our veterans to talk from their own perspective what type of increased symptomatology they're dealing with and its impact on their ability to work, recreate, and socialize.
Okay, so the big message here is that, you know, you want to verify whatever you feel that, you know, how your condition has changed. You need to talk to a professional somewhere along the line and have them agree with you, right?
Well, you need the evidence, Dale. I mean, I think Michael, as always, Michael, you did a great job with that, explaining it. Dale, you need the evidence. You need to show that there's something that's changed from what's in the record. And Michael's right. I've seen veterans go and get the exam and lose what they have, and then they're angry. They don't understand how this could happen. And it's, hey, we told you in advance. If your condition is worsening, you should be seeing the doctor, going back to the VA, seeing your practitioner, getting statements. You need evidence than what is in your record. You need something to document what's happening with you. And the best way to do that is through your physician or your nurse practitioners who is rendering care for you. And then that all is submitted.
And Dale, you said something that I would rephrase it. You said you go and you talk to your doctors and so your doctor can agree with you. Well, that's the thing. A doctor, you know, a clinician going and using all kinds of diagnostic measurements and tools may not agree with you that your symptomatology has gotten worse, or at least from a clinician's perspective, it hasn't gotten worse. So it's not so much that the doctor agrees with you. It's that the doctor evaluates you and establishes, yes, you are experiencing an increased symptomatology, and then we can use that evidence to warrant an increase.
Right, and I think that's really important for our listeners to understand is that, you know, if you go, let's suppose that you are suffering from post-traumatic stress and you go to see your psychologist, psychiatrist, and say, well, I think I need... I should be getting more, you know, disability income, but, you know, and then the doctor says, well, yeah, but you're doing so much better than you were when I first talked to you years ago. I can't really write up a report that says that you are worse than you were before. And right. I think that's something that many people don't realize is that, you know, if you are living with something, you know, whether it's a disease or an emotional problem, sometimes they just, you know, they stay level. They don't go up and they don't go down. And so you got to be, you do want to be cautious if you're going to apply for an increase that it's really deserved. And that, as you both have pointed out, the symptomatology shows that it has increased, that, you know, and so forth. Am I right?
The easiest ones that I see where it is granted is the veteran's a little disappointed in the beginning, so let me just back up a bit. So you go and you submit your disease entities and you get rated. And so let's say you broke your ankle and it's really bad and you're having trouble with it. But the VA came back and said, okay, we're going to service connect you, but we're giving you 0%, which means then to the veteran, they're not getting any monthly compensation. However, in those cases where you've been 0% and rated that it relates to your military time and service, when that condition deteriorates and does get worse, I have seen veterans put in and then they have gotten that increased rating. But I think Michael started out, when you're at a 30%, it's sometimes really hard to jump from 30 to 50 or from 50 to 70. But from a zero, I've seen come out 30 and 40% because the condition has deteriorated. So every veteran is different. It depends on what, you know, your profile is. And then depending on if you do get the increased rating, we've seen in some conditions that it has put you in a place now that you, if you are unemployed, that you could go then for unemployability or TDIU. So you need somebody that understands your case, that you've been working with, and I would encourage you to seek either a VSO, county counselor, legal help for veterans, somebody that knows these nuances, even could even help you when you're going for an exam. I think that's really critical.
Mental health conditions are really important because what the VA is going to have available to them, again, are either treatment records or treatment records and former exams and the current exams, and that's what you really want to have. If I'm going through prolonged exposure therapy at the VA for my PTSD, and each week I'm checking in, and they're giving me these matrices of, you know, how are you feeling, your depression level, your anxiety level, how many panic attacks are you experiencing per week? How are you sleeping? And through a 12-week episode of care, there's a really good snapshot for the VA to see how well you're progressing or not relative to treatment. Then they come to and they say, hey, listen, you're getting so bad that the doctor prescribed psychotropics for you. Or you're getting so bad or this particular episode of care did not help, so we're going to recommend you for cognitive behavior therapy for depression or cognitive behavior therapy for anxiety or anger management or group anger management or group CBT or DBT or dialectic behavior therapy. So when they see that, you're really working through these episodes of care to get to a place where your symptomatology is either reduced or stable or whatever, then the VA says, yeah, wow, maybe that 30% evaluation really isn't reflective of how disabled this person is. And now your condition really looks more like 70%. But without that, they're going to have nothing to rely on but exams. Mm-hmm. And as you know, we have examining officials who just, I hate to say this, General Fasson knows this, they are not veteran friendly. Some of them really actually do not even believe PTSD is a disorder. They don't believe it should have ever been put in the DSM-3, let alone retained in the DSM-4 and the DSM-5. So when you deal with physicians who have philosophical issues about their own profession, dealing with veterans, you know, then that becomes a problem, because now that's the only medical evidence the veteran has to either support his or her claim for an increase. And if it goes south and they're not going for treatment, then we, as your advocates, we have nothing medically to use to appeal that decision.
Right.
I
want to remind our audience out there, if you have any questions, please give us a call. This is your opportunity to find out, 734-822-1600. My question was going to be, as I was thinking about it, was have either one of you seen an increase in post-traumatic stress as a result of this COVID-19, COVID, you know, the virus, and people being, you know, in lockdown for 6 months? Carol Ann?
Well, yes, and I you know, not that they're coming and saying, okay, we have to, you know, go in for an increase with our benefits, but everybody is feeling the stress right now, the isolation out there. And so I think it's really good to communicate, to be in touch with, you know, your providers, if you are under care, to take your medicine. Something Patricia was alluding to, the post office, I got to tell you, be responsible. If you know you're running out of your medications, don't wait till the last minute when you only have one or two left. Go out there knowing the nuances and order your medications early. And maybe you'll be as lucky as Dale that they will come within 4 days. But you need to be responsible for your actions. You know, I think it's it's real important that you do have somebody. I want to go back to the example with the PTSD because, Michael, as the exams and you just talked about, I think what's real critical is we ask for the TBIs, the PTSDs, we ask our veterans to let us know who is doing the exam. And that is very critical because if you get a general practitioner doing some of the TBI exams and the PTSD, that's not the correct protocol. It only certain groups of providers could be doing those exams. And we've noticed that on an increase to get the backlog done, people are going to and getting these exams conducted and they're bad exams. And so then we're going to have to fight to get it corrected and then to back in the system. And we've seen problems with that out there.
Do either one of you have particular doctors that you recommend?
Well, no, it's what's approved by the VA. You need certain groups of psychiatrists, psychologists, to do the certain exams. It would be like saying you're an orthopod is not needed to evaluate a limb. We need to make sure that the right individuals are examining our veterans.
Okay, Michael.
Dale, I have not requested increases for PTSD due to COVID-19. There are other stress-related issues that can exacerbate a service-connected condition, but the symptomatology that the VA is going to be rating on is, not things like a pandemic like this.
Right.
But I can say that none of my veterans have come to me and asked for an increase. To say they want to reopen their claim and request an increase because they're so stressed out over COVID. No, at least not yet. And I
see how much longer we can last, right?
Yeah, and I understand what General Fasson is talking about, and I'll give you an example. If you got a veteran whose claim has a multiplicity of conditions, they got a heart condition, they got diabetes, they got PTSD, they've got orthopedic conditions. You don't want a general medicinist examining your heart. You don't want a general medicinist evaluating your PTSD because actually they can't. The VA has to schedule those appointments with a psychiatrist or a psychologist. But I've seen general medicinists doing orthopedic evaluations. I've seen them doing cardiology evaluations, and I've seen them doing other evaluations that are not related to or when there are experts that are available to do those types of examinations. Like cancer, you would want an oncologist doing those types of exams and determining the level of disability. You got a cardiology problem, you want a cardiologist examining that veteran, that particular disability. And she's right. We've seen some of those being deferred to general medicinists, and because it's a little bit out of their league, we end up with a bad examination. Yeah.
Okay. And I got another question from somebody just came in, is that their condition was rated service-connected, but it was zero. But they have to take a medication for the rest of their lives for this particular condition. Would that be something that they may look at reopening, not necessarily reopening, but appealing?
Well, if the evidence presents, but the beautiful thing about being 0%, they could go to the VA for care in that area. And so
right.
If they're paying out of pocket for medications, and if it's the condition is getting worse, it goes back to the original question. Let's take a look at it. If there's more evidence that maybe it shouldn't have been rated at 0%, get the additional evidence, the medication, get the physician statement, and go after an increase. And it depends on the area also.
It does. So Dale, depending on what the medical condition could be, the 0% could account for having to take a medication for control. So the 0% evaluation may be appropriate. But like, say, for instance, hypertension, you can be service-connected for hypertension at 0%. But then the 10% rating is when you need medication to control it. So if it's hypertension and they rated the person at zero and yet they're taking a medication, it should be 10%. So that's, again, you have to sit down with a county veteran service officer, a veteran service officer from one of our partners in the veteran service organizations, or a state veteran service officer with the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, or a lawyer or an agent who knows the code of federal regulation, who can sit down and look at the diagnostic code that's assigned to that medical condition, look that diagnostic code up in the schedule of rating to determine is 0% accounting for taking medicine. And if it is, then unfortunately there's nothing to appeal. There's really no need to go for an increase. But if the 0% just says you got it, and then the next higher evaluation says you got it and you got to take medication for it, then yes, that's something that should be appealed.
Yes.
I have a quick question that you just brought up. As you know, we've talked about Agent Orange on the program before, and we've only got about 5 minutes to go. That the hypertension is not on the list of presumptive disabilities that is, you know, proposed. Let's put it that way. But is hypertension something that you could apply as a disability anyway? Either one?
So there's several ways that the VA looks at hypertension. Yes. Hypertension can be service connected on a direct basis if the veteran was first diagnosed with hypertension in service, regardless of era, regardless of exposure to herbicides, or regardless of any of those other things. We've got veterans who right now are service connected for hypertension because they were diagnosed with it in service and treated for it in service. Now, when it comes to a secondary condition, like being related to herbicide exposure, the VA will service connect on a secondary basis diabetic nephropathy, or basically that's diabetic hypertension, meaning you develop hypertension as a result of having diabetes. But right now, as a presumptive condition related to herbicide exposure, that's a different story. It's not on the list yet. Yeah.
Okay.
So you need Dale that, and Michael, you did a great job. You need somebody that knows how to dissect it, peel back the onion, write up the claim so that when it goes in, you're doing the nexus. You're tying it all together. How did that individual get that disease entity? And, you know, as we all know, the diabetes, the neuropathy, the hypertension, there could be five or six different issues that they could get rated for even as a secondary, but it depends on how you document it and the evidence going forward.
Right. So it's again, why we always encourage our listeners and our veterans to contact a veteran service officer or an organization like Legal Help for Veterans or something along those lines, because it's how you write your claim that is always really important, isn't it, both of you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And even, you know, with us experts, we are very careful with how we word things, because, you know, the VA sometimes gets caught up on how you word something. Somebody will have a condition that's secondary, and they will apply for it, and they don't identify it as secondary. So guess how the VA processes it? They process it as if it's direct, as if it actually happened in service. And they will deny it. They won't even look at it from a secondary basis. They will deny it because their presumption is you are applying for this as if this was directly related to military service, as opposed to, no, I'm asking for it to be secondary to my diabetes.
Right.
All right. All right. Well, you know, we've done it again. Another program is in the can, as they say. And I want to thank both of you for being on the program. Carol Ann Falzone from Legal Help for Veterans and Michael Smith from the Washtenaw County Board of Veterans Service. And we'll be back again next month to answer your questions regarding healthcare and veterans. We also want to make sure I thank Patricia Keim for her time being on to talk about the Veterans Healthcare Program. So, Michael, Carol Ann, thank you both very much. I want to remind everybody of the Zoom virtual summit that's coming up on September 15th from 9 to 12, excuse me, And you can find out more information by going to the CantonFoundation.org to sign up and to get your magic code so you can get in and watch this program for them. So, Carol Ann, Michael, thank you very much for being on the program today. I guess they're gone already. All right. Well, that's okay. So we're at the end of the program. We're at the end of the hour, but we want to make sure that we're providing programming for you that you want. So we want you to go to our website, veteransradio.net, and leave your comments about today's program on our website. If you want more programs about benefits, let us know. If you want more authors, you want more war stories, you want more how to start a business, please let us know. Go to our website and leave your comments there. We also want to make sure that we thank those of you that are supporting us, but we are always looking for the support of patrons to help us keep the our website and our social media up and running, as well as the costs that are associated with radio broadcasting. So if you go to our website and look at help a buddy, they'll take you to a PayPal button on your homepage, and you could help us out. We want to remind you that Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio America, and that Veterans Radio America is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And so all donations and sponsorships are tax deductible. Make sure that you come back next week. That's every Sunday live at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, or go to our website and our podcast, and you'll be able to listen to all of our programs. So until next week, this is Dale Thronberry saying you are dismissed. We'll be right back.